Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome, everybody. I'm Linda Feinholz, your host for Breakthrough Directions radio show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm calling in live, as I do each week, from Los Angeles, California, and we've got an amazing show for you this week. I am so delighted to bring Andrea Ayers to this audience because, as you know, I have a passion for finding entrepreneurs who will share their journey, their learnings, their ahas, their breakthroughs, the ones that were instrumental in crafting their success in business, and in particular, those who can share what were their learnings in everything from the relationships that they built, the business model they built, the systems, the team, all of it. And that's exactly who we have with us in Andrea Ayers this week. So Andrea, welcome aboard. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Linda. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
I'm delighted. And Gina is en route, and when she's able to, she'll join us on the show. But in the meantime, what I would love to do is share with our listeners, you and I were connected through another amazing entrepreneur, Natasha. And this is part of what I love about being able to do this show and connect with entrepreneurs who are part of this wider pool of folks who are following their passion, following their interests, and turning it into lucrative businesses. So I'm so delighted to be able to bring you into this conversation with our community today.
Oh, I'm super excited to be here too.
Yeah. So to give everybody a little bit of context, you know, we've had on the show folks who are in business not only advising entrepreneurs with tools and so on. A little while ago, we had one of the owners of an entrepreneurial business who he shifted from being a policeman to actually being in a partnership that completely revived a 113-year-old bakery in his town and is now, you know, selling products internationally. And I would love to share with our listeners, how did your entrepreneurial spark get started for you?
Oh, sure. I'd love to share that story. So I feel like I've always been an entrepreneur. I've always done something on the side just for fun, to try things out. Even when I was in college, I was doing things on the side. And as I got my first and second and third and fourth jobs after college, I feel like I've always done something entrepreneurial on the side along with my job or my college education. But when I really started to focus mostly on being an entrepreneur was when I decided in 2007 to launch a t-shirt business. And I was actually about 5 months pregnant at the time, moving from New York City to Boulder, Colorado. And I started to look for a job, and then I realized that, you know, being 5 months pregnant, and by that time 6 and 7 months had passed, I realized that the job was not going to be an option. So I had to create my own job. So it sort of felt like the right next step because, as I mentioned, I was always doing something on the side. So I decided to launch a t-shirt line, and that was back in 2007. And I ended up doing that for about 4 years. And what started to happen is, as I started to get more successful and to get my t-shirts placed in national magazines and in stores, a lot of other entrepreneurs that were starting t-shirt businesses would email me and they would say, hey, I love what you've done with your brand. Can you teach me how you did it? Can I learn from you? So I ended up writing an ebook, just sharing everything I knew about how to run a t-shirt business, and I ended up having actually a lot of customers from that book, and I was still doing the t-shirt business and doing the ebook at the same time. And then from those people who had bought the ebook, again, they came to me and they said, okay, the ebook was great, but can I have some one-on-one time with you? You know, can I maybe brainstorm with you? Can I pay you to consult with me? So that led me to my next business, which is Launch Grow Joy. So I ended up selling my t-shirt business and working with entrepreneurs one-on-one so that they can start and grow their t-shirt business and get their businesses into stores. So it was sort of an organic evolution from one business to the next, and that's how it all started. And that happened over a period of about 4 years or so.
I love that you shared this overview of the journey, because we're going to be devoting time today to talking about each of those stages, because they're so relevant for entrepreneurs to understand, or whether they're budding entrepreneurs or serial entrepreneurs or even the multipreneurs that I work with so often, where they have multiple things happening simultaneously and they're looking for a sense in the middle of it, how to harmonize all of it so that life becomes sane again. And so let's take it one step at a time. And when you started that t-shirt business, why t-shirts?
That's such an interesting question, and I was thinking about it a lot too, but I think the reason I was fascinated by t-shirts is because it was such a simple way to express yourself. You know, t-shirts is something that's universal. Almost everyone wears t-shirts. And I decided to write or to print inspirational quotes on the t-shirts. And I thought, you know, I'm definitely not a designer. I couldn't come up with any fancy graphics or anything like that to put on the t-shirts. But I thought, you know, what better way to express yourself than to wear a t-shirt that says something that you feel. And in a lot of ways, I felt like it's something that I needed at the time, I assumed that a lot of other people would need to, and it turns out that a lot of other people needed it too. So I think when I was trying to decide what business to launch and what sort of product, t-shirt, I've always loved t-shirts, and I thought that combining the inspirational quotes on the t-shirt would do a lot of the things that that I was looking for, you know, expressing myself, starting a business, making money, giving back. So it was all of these aspects that that were sort of put together. And another idea that I had at the same time was to do a soap business. And as you know, I ended up pushing the soap business until the summer and focusing just on the t-shirts. But I think mostly it was just something that I felt that I needed and wanted to share with others as well.
It's so often the way that we start a business based around what our personal desires are, our personal interests are, our personal passions. So I'm very curious, do you remember what the first saying was on your first t-shirt?
I do, yes. My first one that sort of just came to me without even really thinking about it was Choose Happiness. And that quote was actually the one that was my best-selling t-shirt out of all of the ones that I had that everybody loved, and it was outselling all of my other t-shirts. So that was my first one, and then my second most popular one, which came right after that, was Today Matters. Again, it was so popular too, and people just loved it. And I think with my t-shirts, the thing that I loved about them so much is that if you looked at it, you would either connect with it or you didn't. You know, it either spoke to you or it didn't, and you bought it based on whether it spoke to you or not. And whenever I would do live events, I just loved seeing people's faces light up when they can connect with a phrase on a t-shirt that really meant something to them and that really allowed them to express themselves as well. So it was just so fun to see all of that unfold.
It's fabulous. And who was your first buyer?
My first buyer, actually, I ended up putting the t-shirts on Etsy because as I was trying to get my own website together, it was Etsy was so much easier because I can just upload photos and put them up there. So my first order was from Etsy, and then after I got my website together, I started reaching out to yoga studios. So a yoga studio was my first retail buyer after that.
I love it. You know what, for listeners who may not be familiar with Etsy, go ahead and explain this model that Etsy has created, because it's a pretty remarkable one and it's really transformed a lot of people's lives.
Oh, yeah, it has. And, I mean, there's tons of people that are making a living just selling the products on Etsy. But it's basically sort of like eBay in a way, but it's only for entrepreneurs that make their products by hand. So they have a ton of different categories, beauty products, baby clothes, art. I mean, anything you can make by hand, you can sell on Etsy. And since I was getting my T-shirts screen printed by hand, at the time, it was a super easy way for me to just put it out there, see what people loved, you know, what they responded to, and then start designing my website around that. But it's such a great way for entrepreneurs that make handmade products to get their product seen. And, I mean, they have millions of viewers every month, millions of dollars in sales through Etsy, and I think there's hundreds of thousands of people selling on there now.
Yeah, it's truly been a success story creating this online retail space for people who are very creative, who might not necessarily want to try and figure out what it takes to set up a site and do that whole retail engine. So it's really been a really brilliant concept for so many people. So your first sales, obviously through Etsy, would have been one-on-one, and then to a local yoga studio, that was your first, as you said, retail, where they would have been buying, we could say, in bulk. How did the business then start to scale? What were the actions that you took that started growing your sales volume and so on?
Oh, sure. What a great question. So I think, you know, I realized I actually ended up selling out of my T-shirts within the first month, and I was so surprised. You know, and I was like, wow, I really have something here. So I ended up reaching out. In the meantime, I spent a whole weekend, no joke, sitting there and making a list of over 3,000 yoga studios in the country, in the U.S. and in Canada. And I got all of their email addresses, all of their, try to find the owner's first name so I can reach out to them personally. So I ended up over the following week sending out 3,000 emails to yoga studio owners asking them if they were interested in my product. So a lot of them replied and they were interested, but what happened is it was too many people who replied and I realized I was selling out of the T-shirt. So the first thing that I think helped me to scale was that I decided, you know, if I'm in this and I want to go 100%, then I'm going to need to invest some money into buying inventory. And instead of, you know, only printing 10 shirts at a time and sort of calculating my risks, I decided to print a huge order, invest money in it, and see what happens from there. And I think just knowing that I invested in my business really helped me to change my mind shift from where I was playing really small to being really confident that, okay, now I have this product in stock. I'm going to have to sell it in order to get my money back. So let me go out there and play big and reach as many people as I can. So I think that decision to invest in my business by buying inventory and invest in my ability to be able to sell it really helped to shift my mindset that, you know, I can do this and this is now a real business that's viable.
I love it. And in your progression from dipping your toe in the water to test it and see how's this going to then selling out to then the next stage of saying, well, I'm going to invest ahead so that I have, in a sense, you're creating what I call an inevitability trigger, where you now have so many you absolutely must make sure you are a business that's actually getting them out to your vendors and selling them. Where in there did your mindset shift from, I need to make my money back, to I'm going to make this a profitable business?
Oh, what a good question. You know, I think as I started to go along and I saw the response that people were getting or that I was getting from people with the T-shirts, you know, and saying, oh, I have to have this and would you come and be at our event or we'd love to feature you in this magazine or on this blog, you know, I think when I was realizing the impact that my products were having on the people who were wearing them and buying them, I realized that, you know, I really had something there. So I think just seeing people's reaction to the T-shirts and to the designs or to the phrases on the T-shirts really helped with that aspect of it.
Very cool. So people who go into manufacturing may or may not have a background in manufacturing, but that's what you did. You switched from this idea of a product to literally being in the manufacturing and marketing business. What were some of the learnings that you had along the way, whether we talk about what works and what doesn't always work in manufacturing or distribution and so on?
Oh, wow, yeah. I mean, I feel like my whole journey was a learning experience, and I'm still learning in a lot of ways, but I really didn't know anything about manufacturing at all. I had a marketing background, and I went to college for marketing and worked various marketing jobs, so I felt like that piece I sort of was a little familiar with, although making and marketing your own product is totally different from working for a large company with a large marketing budget. So that was very different too. But one of the things that I learned is that I had to be really clear on what it is that I was looking for from my manufacturing. And it's interesting because when I first started, I wanted to have all of my products made in the USA. I wanted them to be made from eco-friendly materials and be as eco as possible, and I wanted to give back in some way. So I soon realized that if, and back in 2007, it seems like so long ago, but there weren't as many organic cotton or eco-friendly options in terms of clothing as we have now. So I really didn't have a lot to choose from, and I realized that, if I wanted to keep my price reasonable, I would have to go outside of the USA in terms of my manufacturing. So I ended up finding a manufacturer in Turkey who had a lot of fair labor practices, and they were treating their workers really well and paying them really well, and all of this was certified. So for me, realizing that, yes, I have a vision, I have a dream of how I want this to unfold, but at the same time, there are realities of costs, and how much I want to sell a T-shirt for. And at that time, I was selling it for $32, which seems like it was a lot for a T-shirt. I think it was, I personally had not bought a T-shirt that was more than maybe $20, $25. So it was, again, another mind shift for me, realizing what goes into actually making a T-shirt and why, if you're not producing on a mass scale, why the prices are higher. So that was a learning experience for me, and also learning to accept, that this T-shirt is worth $32 or $34, and explaining that to people who are coming to my website or attending in-person events. So that I sort of learned right away, as soon as I looked into manufacturing. Another thing that I learned, too, is that I approached this business as, okay, I'm definitely inspiring people. But when I started to use social media and started to get out there, it was more like, okay, here's my T-shirts, and I'm using Facebook to advertise them or Twitter to advertise them. And I realized that pretty soon I was approaching my business as what can I get, and how many sales can I make, and I sort of lost track of the actual connecting with people and building relationships. And it actually took my first in-person event to realize that, wow, I've just, spent all of this time just pushing my shirts out there on people as opposed to really thinking about, okay, what does this business mean to me? How can I make a difference? How can I connect to people as opposed to just advertise and market to them? So that was, maybe slower than I would have liked it to be, but it was definitely something I learned along the way too, that it was all about giving as opposed to just what can I get.
Right. It's this notion of can you find your ideal customer and yet be in a relationship with them where you're serving them, a very
exactly.
different notion, a very different approach.
Yes.
And when you look at, I guess I have one other question in the manufacturing side of things, because there's all these lessons that even if someone were to hand you a handbook and say, do these 10 things and you'll have mastered manufacturing, there's always hiccups. There's always the unexpected that takes place along the way where the product doesn't arrive as you anticipated it would, and sometimes it's due to communication, sometimes it's due to a lack of quality checks on the other end, and so on. And so did you find those kinds of events happening as you were getting your business built?
Oh, definitely. I sure did, you know. And my first thing that I realized is that I sort of put in my order with what, you know, the number of T-shirts that I wanted, the colors, and I decided not to double-check everything before it went to production and instead to trust the manufacturer that they would get the order right. So that was a huge mistake because I realized, you know, when my T-shirts came, half of them were the wrong color and half of them were mislabeled with the wrong size. So I had, you know, and I think, I can't remember exactly how many T-shirts, but it was a lot of them that were not the right color and the right size. So I sort of had to be like, okay, that was just to take ownership for that and realize, you know, if I had spent the extra hour or if I had maybe spent the extra money on getting samples back to me, even though it was going to take more time and my production was going to be maybe a week later, that I should have really checked everything carefully before it went to production as opposed to trusting that the manufacturer would do it based on the specs that I gave them. So that was the first thing that I learned. The other thing is that it always took much longer to produce than I was quoted. So they would say, oh, yeah, you know, it's about a week from the time you place in your order to when we can schedule your production, and then it takes about 3 weeks for that, and 4 weeks overseas, and before I knew it, it was 3 months later, and I still didn't have my T-shirts, and it was kind of hard because I had already pre-sold these T-shirts to yoga studios and spas that were looking for them, you know, and I had told them that they would arrive by a certain date, and they didn't. So yeah, the fact that it always took longer to make, and I just always decided to build in at least another month extra into what I was quoted, and to really make sure to double-check everything before I gave the final go-ahead were two things that were two really expensive lessons for me to learn. But I feel like I had to go through that in order to know how to approach it better the next time.
It's so important what you were just sharing because I've worked with other manufacturers over time, and even when each of those entrepreneurs felt that things were so clearly communicated and buttoned down, there's this need to understand all of the handoffs that take place between placing the order and actually receiving it. And it was such a great learning for you to have early in the process. What did you change in your process, in your relationship with your vendors, to try and feel that at least your communication was clear with them before you started adding in your contingency time? And, you know, how did you start setting your expectations for what shipping was really going to take and so on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the first things that I did was to have a contract and to specify in the contract, okay, what happens if the color is off or the sizing is off, or what happens if the manufacturing is delayed by, you know, by 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So making sure that I had a contract that specified what happens if something went wrong, that definitely helped to make sure that we were all on the same page in regards to what I was expecting and what they had to deliver as well. So that was the first thing. And also just being in constant communication. So when they would say, you'll have your samples by Friday, I would check in on Wednesday and I would say, hey, just checking in, want to make sure that those samples are still due to arrive on Friday. Are we still on schedule? So just staying on track every step of the way to making sure that things are happening so that way I don't have a huge surprise at the end. And at least if something is not right, I can sort of catch it as it's happening helped to make that manufacturing process a lot easier.
And there's an interesting dynamic in there because it allows you, in a sense, not only are you the initiator of what's going on in the business, you also get to be the middleman because now you're in relationship with your manufacturer, you're finding out about the manufacturing schedule, the shipping schedule, and so on. It allows you to keep a much tighter sense of the realistic arrival time and date, which allows you to turn around to the people who have placed orders with you and give them updates on when they can, in fact, expect delivery and so on.
Exactly. That's so true. And that's one of the reasons I did it. And it seemed to work a lot better, you know, with the manufacturer, with my retailers, and just with keeping me grounded in a way. So, yeah, it was huge.
You brought up the point before about the relationship and that you got reminded by going to a live event about the need for a relationship with your buyer, the person who was falling in love with that T-shirt and so on. And in a sense, you had relationships with more than one buyer. You had relationships with, for instance, the yoga studio owner who was going to be buying and then the buyer who was standing on site there. So with your background in marketing, how did you start weaving those relationships?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think it's funny. What a great question. I think one of the things that I realized as I was doing the events and people were standing at my booth trying to decide which shirt to buy, a lot of them would often turn to me and say, oh, I'm going to buy, you know, I'm going to buy this shirt for my friend who just had a baby and I think this would fit her perfectly. Or my sister was just diagnosed with cancer and she overcame it and I think I'm going to buy this shirt for her. So I realized that people, as they were looking at my T-shirts, they would start to think about their story and how my T-shirts would fit into their story. So that was really interesting for me because I was able to relate to them more on a human level and on a personal level as opposed to just a customer who happens to buy a T-shirt. So as I started to go online and try to market my T-shirts online, I started to write more of a story in my product descriptions, and I started to share more about my story on my About page, and started to share more of those stories on Facebook and Twitter and social media. And I think if I hadn't done those in-person events to really see how people were crafting the story and relating to my T-shirts, I think I would have missed out on the importance of making sure that people are really connecting with your product and that your product somehow fits into the story that they're going through at that time. So that was a huge eye-opening for me. And I think it was different from when I was working in marketing. For example, I worked at NYU in New York, and part of my job was to find lists of people to send our summer course catalog to. You know, and that was more, it wasn't so much any story involved in there, you know, is more, okay, I think people who would come to NYU would also read this magazine and read that publication or buy from this catalog. So the story wasn't as personal, but I think having this smaller business really helped me to realize the importance of that.
I love what you just shared. It's so important for each of us, no matter what kind of business we're in, to identify how to get close enough to the people we're actually serving to find out what's happening in their world, in their life, and the place that our product or our service or our program has for them. So
exactly,
I love,
yes.
Thank you so much for what you just shared about the fact that it was standing face to face that got you the truly connected with the stories of what was happening in their world. And I expect it let you turn back around and look at the messages you were putting on your products and so on and refine them.
It totally did, yes. You know, and I started to even take suggestions. Every time I would do a new design, I would take suggestions from people that had bought the T-shirts, from people on social media, and they could submit their phrases. And I got some really good ones that way, too. So that was a great way, again, to get them involved and to create more of a community and to share their ideas as well. And, again, it was so great. And some things that I never would have thought of to put on a T-shirt that were really touching and spoke to me from what my customers were saying. So it was a great way to get them involved for sure.
And now I'm curious, what was it that you experienced when you opened it up for people to submit their ideas? You had those who submitted, you had those who didn't, and you had those who submitted but their ideas weren't picked. What did you find happened once you then selected the winners and started production?
Oh, you know, I found the first thing is that they were so excited and so happy to have their quote or their phrase chosen and actually on a T-shirt. And I ended up, what I did is that if I ended up doing a phrase that someone suggested, I would send them a couple of free shirts with their phrase, you know, and then they would take photos and post them on my Facebook wall and do all sorts of fun stuff. But I just really felt like it made them so excited and so empowered. Because I think sometimes when you, maybe when you enter a contest when, or when you do something like that, it's easy to think, oh, I'm never going to get chosen, but let me put my, you know, let me add my 2 cents in anyway. So I think it was just seeing how excited people were that their phrases were actually chosen. And what I also did is that, you know, sometimes I couldn't decide. Maybe I found like 5 or 6 phrases that I really love, but I didn't have room for all of them, and I couldn't decide which one to pick. I would open that up for voting so that people would pick which ones was their favorite, and then I would pick the most popular one from there. So that happened too, and again, people just loved to contribute and then to see their shirt that they had suggested, you know, actually be for sale in my shop. So it was just so much fun to be able to do that.
What a fabulous approach to take, that both the idea of acknowledging the people who didn't have the final quote across your mass-produced shirts or high-volume-produced shirts by getting them their personalized shirts, but also in turning it to the community and letting everyone participate in selecting what was coming next. I have several of my clients that, you know, that's such the ideal step for them to take to create a closer relationship with their community. So, wow, and thank you for sharing it so beautifully. And as you said, you now had, not only did you have this community of folks who were in love with the T-shirts and the phrases and what you were doing through Launch Grow Joy, also you had people who were saying, I think I want to do a T-shirt business. And so
Yes. All
of a sudden you were becoming the advisor mentor to other businesses. How did that come about?
That came about, you know, I've always, like I was saying before, I've always had a passion for entrepreneurship, but I've also had a passion for teaching and sharing with people what I know. So I felt like it was sort of just a natural extension of what I had already been doing, but just being able to work with people one-on-one and help them with their T-shirt business was a great way for me to, in some ways, give back, even though I was, you know, I was getting paid for my time, but I was really felt like I was giving back to them and helping them to build a successful brand as well. I just felt like it sort of happened naturally just because I love teaching and I love sharing, and I feel like if I've spent, you know, a month learning something that I can share with somebody over a 1-hour session, I'm going to do that because it's going to save them so much time and money, and they're going to be able to move forward and have more confidence in their business. So it just all sort of evolved organically from all of the success that I was having with my T-shirts in stores and in magazines, and then I started to write that ebook on how to start a T-shirt business.
And I'm sure we have a few listeners, not many, because I know how our audience really is about collaboration, but we may have a few folks out there who are thinking to themselves, hang on, you had a really successful business that was happening, and now people are asking you to teach them how to compete directly with you. So what was that like for you to be looking at how you take all of your learning and turn around to help someone else in the same, we could say, industry?
Oh, yeah, wow, what a great question, you know. And I think I am of the mindset that there really is room for everybody, and nobody has the same story that you have. So, yes, I was helping you know, some entrepreneurs that had T-shirts, they catered to totally different markets. Like I was helping a guy who had a line of pirate T-shirts, and he, you know, most of his target market was guys who are into pirates. You know, I had other people who had T-shirts for dog owners. And so a lot of times the markets were not the same. And I felt like my market was so specific, you know, yoga studios and people who do yoga and people who go to spas, or more specifically women who do all of these things, that I was able to sort of carve out my niche, and still, again, there's still room for everybody. So even I had a client who had a really, really similar T-shirt line, but the reason why she started it was totally different from the reason why I started it. So I told her that it's really important for her to share her story as to why she started her T-shirt business on her website, and the people who can relate to that would be more likely to buy her T-shirts than mine. But the people who can relate to my story were buying mine. So again, I I think just because, especially if you have a small business, you're able to do this, but sharing your story and the why behind you doing it and having a really specific audience that you're trying to get your story and your message to really helps to cut out a lot of the competition, even though it might seem like we're all trying to do the same thing because they're all selling a T-shirt. But, you know, I do think there is room for everybody. And if a yoga studio loved my T-shirt and they also loved my clients' T-shirts, that's great because really they have more stuff that they can share with their clients and more stuff for their clients to choose from. So I really do think that there is room for everybody regardless of what market we're in and what we're trying to do, even though someone might seem like they're trying to do the same exact thing.
And then picking up on what you shared before, with your background in marketing, you then, building on your story and your product story, you knew what to do with your publicity, your marketing, which would be very different than one of your consulting clients would be doing with their marketing and their publicity and so on.
Yes, exactly. That's right on, yeah.
So you were not trying to become the world's most famous T-shirt manufacturer or inspirational T-shirt distributor. Rather, you knew the market you were trying to connect with and could focus all of your marketing and your publicity efforts towards them.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And that, I think that helped to reduce a lot of the overwhelm too, because as I was starting to get the idea for my T-shirts, I thought, oh my God, you know, everyone loves T-shirts. I'm going to have a $1 million company in a year because everyone buys T-shirts. And then as you start to market that, it's like, okay, who do I contact and who do I reach out to if everyone is my customer? And I realized pretty soon, you know, within that first month or so, that I was not going to be able to market to everybody, especially on a limited budget. You know, that might be different if you're a big brand and you have a huge budget and you can take out TV ads or billboards or something like that. But if you're a small brand, I think it's so important to define who it is you want to connect with.
And you mentioned that you then had your publicity, your marketing appearing in magazines and so on. By the time you decided to sell your company, were you doing purely online sales and retail sales in bulk to the yoga studios, or were you also selling offline?
By that time, actually, one of the reasons that I decided to sell the company is because I was, I just had my third baby, and it was, you know, and I was moving back, I had moved back to the East Coast for 2 years, and I was moving back to Boulder one more time, and, you know, I realized I have all of these consulting clients, I just had my third baby, I have a T-shirt business that's really taking off, there is no way I can do all of this and still be able to spend time with my kids, do a move across the country again, and grow this consulting business. So I ended up selling the T-shirt business, or deciding to sell it, because it just felt like I had too much on my plate. And I felt like there was so much that I had learned that I wanted to share with other people, that I felt that I was more excited about sharing what I learned and helping other entrepreneurs grow than making my T-shirt line even bigger, if that makes sense. So,
it does.
Yeah.
Well, then taking all of your learning from that T-shirt business and those clients who had been approaching you, how did you then shape that into your next business?
So I quickly realized that a lot of entrepreneurs that were starting other types of products were going through the same challenges. You know, they were looking for manufacturers. They were looking to get into magazines, trying to get into stores. So I said, you know, if this works for a T-shirt line, and it's kind of hard to market a T-shirt, you know, it's a lot more harder than maybe like a specific product for babies or something that's more specific. Yeah, I thought if I've been able to do this, there has to be a way that all of the strategies and tips that I've learned can also extend to people that make other types of products. So I started to blog about things or products other than T-shirts. And then as I started to blog more about more general entrepreneurs that had a product, my audience grew. And I realized that, you know, I can serve them the same way that I've been serving my T-shirt entrepreneurs, because a lot of this information is the same. They just happen to be in a different category. But getting in stores is the same. Getting in magazines, you still have to do the same thing. Getting online orders is really similar. So I just realized that this can really be applied to any entrepreneur that has a product that they make on a smaller scale.
You know, one of the things that I'm loving about what you're sharing is there are so many people who are trying to figure out how to have purely an information-based business that I love that you're sharing with all of our listeners that while your business became providing information, it's providing the how-tos about real products that people really need to figure out how to design, manufacture, distribute, as you said, place in stores, deal with all of those relationships.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and there is a huge difference between marketing info product and marketing a physical product. You know, and now that I've done both, I definitely can see, you know, the challenges that one has over the other and what each one entails. But I totally agree with you. It's definitely a learning curve, and I think had I not had my T-shirt business, there's no way I would have known any of these things. But I also think having my T-shirt business and realizing that I'm connecting with my customers based on what they love most about the T-shirt or the quote or the story, that really helped me to take that into my consulting business, and I realized who my client was in that business as well. Because over time, I would do a lot of events where there were other entrepreneurs trying to do the same thing that I did, you know, sell their product. And I got to learn, you know, as I would talk to them, I got to learn their story, why they did it. So when I started the consulting business and selling the info products and courses, I really realized that the story was really important as well. So a lot of things do overlap, but there's definitely a lot of differences as well.
You know, one of the differences that I think is really important to point out, and you mentioned it on the T-shirt business, you had to make a decision on a certain day at a certain time how much you were going to invest ahead of time to get your production up. And that's quite different than an info products business where, particularly nowadays, where people are very much wanting to buy downloadable product, you know, different than even, as you said, you know, when you were starting your business in 2007. In 2007, everybody wanted what was called the thump effect of they would buy a learning product or whatever, and they wanted to hear the thump when it was delivered in a giant box full of three-ring binders and tons of paper, you know, on the front step. And now people have made quite a shift. Nobody really wants that giant box of paper at this time. They really want the downloadable. So even more so, the investment in what it takes to ramp up in an info products business, in a sense, those costs have come down, but they haven't come down for a true products business.
That's true, yes. They're actually going up, I think, for the products businesses, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you're consulting now, when you're teaching your programs, how do you structure, if you have somebody who's coming to you with just an idea, how do you structure for them how to approach getting that true products business designed and launched?
Oh yeah. You know, it's interesting because a lot of the people that I work with are doing it all themselves, and I know what that feels like. So I think my first thing that I do is, and a lot of people that I work with have already launched their product and they're looking to sort of take it to the next level, but there are definitely those who just have an idea and they're not sure where to go. So my first thing that I always tell them is that they don't need to worry about, you know, being on Facebook and being on Twitter and sending out your newsletter right away. They should just focus on the manufacturing part until they get that ready. Because once you start thinking about all of the things you have to do to get your product out there, it sort of becomes paralyzing. And, you know, you might think, oh, my God, I don't even have my product in stock, and I'm already having to be on Facebook every day, and I have nothing to sell yet. So I think just taking it one small step at a time And then growing from there and taking the next step is what I recommend. So I always recommend, you know, talking to manufacturers, getting product samples, figuring out what your budget is for this before you even think about any of the marketing stuff. It really helps to reduce that overwhelm. And then once they have their product, then I like to have them focus on their website and making sure that their website is attractive, that it has their story, that there's really great product photos, whether they take up themselves or hire a professional photographer. And then once all of that is in place, then I think is when the marketing can start. And I'm only saying this because I think when I started my T-shirt business, I wanted everything to happen from day one. So I wanted, you know, the magazine mentions to be on my site when I launched, and I wanted my list of retailers to be there, and I wanted my Facebook account to have 5,000 followers, and it just sort of got overwhelming with all of those things that I wanted to happen on day one. So even though it might be a slower way, I think it helps to keep you more grounded if you just take in one step at a time. So that's what I try to teach the people that I work with, because they really do want to do it all, and I totally can relate to that, because sometimes I want it all right then and there too.
That's the true entrepreneurial energy.
Yeah.
Have the idea,
right,
and we want to see it manifest tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, and I remember when I was first getting to my first magazine, and I realized that, you know, they take 3 to 6 months from the time you submit your product before your product actually makes it into their pages. And I was like, oh, my God, by the time 3 to 6 months pass, I'm not going to have this T-shirt anymore. I'm going to have a brand new set of T-shirts, and why can it happen today? But when you realize how things work, and, you know, sometimes certain things take longer, then you realize that you do need to have that patience built in into setting up your business.
And in a sense, you have to have two product lines. You have to have the product line you're willing to keep manufacturing by the time it hits those glossy pages, as well as the new things coming out through your site and so on.
Exactly, definitely, yeah.
Fabulous. So I do want to talk a little bit about the soap business, but I also want our listeners to know that you teach entrepreneurs. You teach entrepreneurs, particularly in this arena of creating products and getting products to market, both the business side of it and the publicity marketing side of it and so on. And so I want our listeners to know that they can always find in the show notes as well as at bbdnow.com/growjoy a link directly to your programs, because I think it's so important for entrepreneurs to know there are resources out there to learn all of this.
Oh, great. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, my pleasure. And we're going to share some other places they can find you in the next few weeks as well. So how did you decide to then, while you had this consulting business going, to now go back into manufacturing with your soaps business?
Oh, so I had been doing the consulting business for about 2 years now, and I don't know why, but I've always wanted, I love great packaging, I love products that smell really good, and I love soaps. And it was one of the ideas that I had way back when I was in college trying, you know, to do something on the side, and then I took a soap making class and realized that it was going to take a lot longer to make the soap than I was willing to wait. But soap is something that I've always wanted to do. So as I started to do consulting and to get really excited about the clients that I was working with, it was really great and I loved it, but I felt like I really missed having my own product and implementing the strategies that I was teaching people, implementing them myself, because I feel like it's funny how it happened, but I feel like I learned so much more once I started teaching. And I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel like when I had my T-shirt business, everything was sort of a blur, even though it seemed clear at the time. By looking back at it, it just feels like, whoa, I can't believe I was able to do that, and now it just seems so blurry. But once I started teaching it and laying out the steps, everything sort of fit together, and it made more sense than it had ever than it ever did previously. So when I decided to launch the sew business, I felt so confident and so clear and just so excited about what I was teaching that I really wanted to practice that again, and I wanted to do it again and see if there are other things that, you know, maybe new things that are coming into play that I didn't know about when I had my t-shirt business. So I think I'm always interested in learning and trying new things and experimenting, and I think because of that, and because I'm just a sucker for great packaging, I decided to launch my own soap line. And I feel like it fits so perfectly with the consulting and the teaching, because if I'm trying something new with my soaps, then I can then talk about it and share what I'm learning with people that are reading my blog at Launch Grow Joy. So they fit together so nicely, I think, and one sort of feeds the other.
So as you've been launching and building Soaps to Live By, are you doing something different this time around with your systems or with your team than you did the first time around?
Yes, definitely. I think what I didn't have the first time was a plan. I sort of just decided, oh, today I'm going to pitch to magazines. So let me, you know, take on my list of magazines and start pitching. But I think with the soaps, I'm a lot more focused, and my goals are much more clearer as to what it is I want out of this business, as opposed to my t-shirt line. As I mentioned, I think the t-shirt line was sort of a blur looking back, but with the soaps, everything just makes sense, and the next step that I want to take makes sense, and I think I'm a lot more prepared and a lot more confident, and I'm not wasting as much time in a lot of ways, because I've already done all of those things with the t-shirt business, so I know what works. I know how to reach out to magazine editors and what to say. I know how to get in stores, how to reach to them. So it seems a lot more easier this time in a lot of ways.
Now, are you taking your soaps to the same audience that, or the same buyers that you had relationships with for the t-shirts, or is it a whole new market?
It's actually, interestingly enough, it's pretty much the same market, and I remember how much I love working with the yoga studios and the independent stores, and it's pretty much, I mean, I feel like the soap is my quotes on a soap instead of on a t-shirt, so it's just a different medium, but it's all still pretty much the same thing, so I think that helps a lot, too.
Very cool. Now, in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, you know, I see t-shirts as something that are very much a giftable item. When you mentioned the woman who said, you know, my sister has survived cancer and I want to get her this t-shirt and so on, I can see so many occasions for those t-shirts, and the same thing in the soap arena. So is there an opportunity for you to actually create a partnership with your old t-shirt company where you're cross-marketing for each other?
Oh, what a great idea. I think there might be, and I remember the woman who bought my t-shirt business, I was telling her a little while ago before I launched the soaps that I was missing having a product, and I was thinking about launching a soap line, and she was just so excited. She's like, oh, my God, I love soaps too. You know, good luck with that. Keep me posted. So this might be a great, thank you for the reminder, a great opportunity to reach out, especially now that the holidays are coming, and see what we can do together.
And create an amazing strategic alliance between the two of you, serving the same market with items they want for themselves, as well as it is now heading into gift season.
Exactly. And, you know, the best part of that is that we both use the same fulfillment house. I just recently switched to sending my products to a fulfillment house because I was finding myself just spending all my day shipping. So we use the same fulfillment house now, so that would be super easy for us to set up. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. I have another couple of questions, but I do want to share that you are going to be teaching a class. And, you've got the Publicity Jumpstart Program that people can find at bbdnow.com/growjoy. And also you're going to be teaching a class at Creative Live on November 13th through 15th on publicity. Say a little bit more about what that course is going to be about and how Creative Live works.
So sure. So Creative Live is actually a site that I've been a huge fan of for a while. And the way they're set up is that they teach, it's either a 1, 2, or 3-day class that's taught live on the internet, sort of like your radio show is, where people can tune in and they see the instructor teaching. And then there's also a studio audience who you're working one-on-one as you're teaching in the studio audience. But then the class is rebroadcasted over and over after it's live. So it's a great way, I think, to really connect with your audience, because so much of it happens live and people can submit questions and interact with you. Yeah, I'll be teaching there about how to get publicity both for products and for services, because I, you know, with my consulting and my coaching and my online courses, I've been able to get the same sort of publicity that I did with my t-shirt business, just in a different way. So now I'm teaching other entrepreneurs that have, whether it's info products or physical products or courses, I'm teaching them how to get in front of their audience through publicity as well. So I'm super excited for that. I think it's going to be, you know, I've taught classes in person, you know, for maybe 1 or 2 hours, never for 3 days at a time. So it's going to be a different experience for me, but I am so excited for it and just so ready to share even more of what I learned with my consulting business too. Classes are all free.
Which is absolutely remarkable. It's really quite fabulous and a wonderful resource for entrepreneurs. I want to go back to something that you mentioned before, which is the fact that we're living in this social media obsessed age, and yet from the entrepreneurship side of things, you really have to have a plan and parse out what's going to be done in what order, what sequence, and so on. And so when you are consulting to entrepreneurs who are trying to get started now, and all of the messages are how much time they're supposed to be spending in social media, what's your advice to people about how they should parse their time and use their time in that arena?
Yeah, my advice is to start out on 1 or 2 networks instead of trying to do it all. And I know we all have a YouTube account and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest and Instagram, and the list goes on. But I tell people to focus just on 1 or 2 and really master those before you can use anything else. Because, you know, I think for my consulting business, Facebook and LinkedIn are really great, or sometimes YouTube is really great if I'm doing videos. But for my soap business, Instagram and Pinterest are really great too. So I focus on different social media networks for each business, even though I have accounts on all of those. But if I try to be on every network every single day, it sort of gets overwhelming. So my advice is just to really think about who you want to connect with and which social media network your audience is most likely to hang out in, and spend your time on that 1 or 2 networks as opposed to trying to do it all.
And what's a fair amount of time for them to be spending in order to research who's there, what the conversations are, start creating relationships in those arenas and become there, and so on?
I think it really depends. I think when you're first starting, it might take a little bit of time to familiarize yourself with who's there and how it works. I know when I first started with Pinterest, it took me about a week of spending time there on a daily basis to figure out what it was about. But now that I have my account set up, I have my boards all set up, I really don't spend more than 15 minutes a week on Pinterest, and I get great results. In terms of Facebook, I am on it pretty much on a daily basis, but I'm on it no more than about 15 minutes a day or so. So it really can be done in a short amount of time if you're only working with 1 or 2 networks at a time.
That's such a good point, because it is about creating relationship, and if you're scattered all over, how do you start, in fact, creating that relationship? And I suspect there are people who are listening who are thinking, 15 minutes, how do you create relationship in 15 minutes? Do you have a couple of tips for how one creates relationship in LinkedIn or Facebook?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that's worked really well for me is to ask questions and post questions. So I will go on Facebook and say things like, hey, what are you struggling with in your business today? Or what successes have you had this week? And then people respond. So when you do that, you know, if let's say you have 10 or 20 people responding, you can easily respond right back to them. But if you have, you know, 20 different posts a day, it's kind of harder to respond to all of them. So if you just keep it simple and keep it small in a way, but, you know, not small to the point where you're not interacting with anyone, it becomes a lot more manageable.
I love it. Thank you. I can't thank you enough for how thoroughly you showed everybody today just what it takes to go from concept all the way to market, and not only to market but to relationship with your clients and so on. And I would love it if there's any final word that you'd like to share with the entrepreneurs who are listening to us about, you know, a particular aha or insight that you had as you were developing your business, a particular learning. I would love it if you would share that.
Oh, sure. I think one of my biggest ahas is when I learned to follow up with people. So a lot of times with retailers or the press, I would just assume that if I didn't hear back, that it just meant that they were not interested. But sometimes it can mean that, but it doesn't hurt to follow up. Sometimes it could mean that they didn't get your email or they didn't have a chance to write back and they need a gentle reminder. So I learned that so many of my press mentions that I've gotten and affiliate partners and marketing partners and stores that I've been able to get my product into were a result of following up. So I urge everybody to not assume that someone's not interested if they don't answer to your email the first time, and just to try
a few
more
times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, and just follow up. I say that really the success with my businesses and so many other entrepreneurs that I've worked with, the success is really in your ability to follow up and not take things personally, and just not assume people are not interested.
Thank you so much for those words of wisdom as we conclude today's episode of Breakthrough Directions. And I thank you, Andrea, so much for everything that you shared with us today. And I invite our audience back for next week's episode of Breakthrough Directions.
Thank you,
and
so
Andrea,
much.
Thank you so much for me, too. I've been here. I just didn't want to jump in because you guys were doing such a great job.
Oh, thanks.
Take care, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.